I love singing about just the different attributes of the Lord and just the fact that the God that we serve and the God that we love, the God that created the heavens and the earth and the God that redeemed us, He's good. He's good. And then of all things, when He says, you know what, I'm giving you an opportunity to respond to my goodness, I'm worthy of praise, and so this is how I want you to do it. And singing and worship is something that He's prescribed, and it's actually good for us. Isn't that just good? It's just good for us. Well, tonight, I'm glad that you came out. This is the trip report from my and Lyle's trip to Ukraine from September 4th to the 17th, I think we arrived back. Yep. And I think pictures speak a lot. You know, pictures, you know, will say 1,000 words, you know, something like that, that phrase. So I have a number of pictures, maybe about 50, but we won't belabor them too long. And Lyle will have a couple things that he wants to mention. It was funny because at first it was 30 seconds. Like, I might have 30 seconds. Then I was like, well, two minutes. And then tonight I heard, well, five. So, but towards the end, we'll bring Lyle up. And then I thought we would end in prayer. And then if you have questions that you would maybe want to, you know, ask and try to play stump the pastor, then hold them to the end. And then after we end the service or, you know, end the online part, then we can do questions and answers a little bit easier like that. And I've got some things to let you know about. But we were so blessed to be able to go. And the genesis of this trip and the relationship that we have with the Calvary Chapels in Ukraine actually started less than a year ago. Actually, the end of October last year, I was able to go, had the honor of going on a far-reaching ministry trip that was generally oriented towards ministering to military and law enforcement chaplains, which it was an exceptional trip. But as my heart is for pastors, and that's my lane right now at this stage of my life, I was really hoping that we could meet some other Calvary Chapel pastors there. And the one that we met happened to be Zhenya from Ternopil. That's where we landed, and it was just really quick. I think we were in Ternopil for less than 24 hours. But we connected, and then we ended up connecting through a mutual friend, George Markey, and then had a Zoom meeting last spring, and then connected with George, who used to be the overseer of the Calvary Chapels in Ukraine up until the war began. Then they had to move, and Zhenya took that over about May or sometime last spring. So connected with George, and he said, you know what, Zhenya's coming to the States for some conferences. And I said, oh man, that is so fantastic. And I was just thinking, I'm going to find out his schedule, and then I'm just going to go to him just to spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours or whatever with him, buy him lunch or whatever. Well, it turns out he had a 2.5-3-day window where he was able to come to us. And some of you got to meet him in July. And on the last morning, Pastor Dan and I were meeting with Zhenya, and I said, you know, I love pastors, and my heart's been for these pastors of these Calvary Chapels. Some have had to close down, some new ones have started up, and it's just a really difficult thing right now. And I said, Zhenya, I know you've got a lot on your plate when you go back to Ukraine. But at the right time, when you do one of your tours to go visit churches, if the Lord would have it, I would love to participate in that. He lit up. He's like, oh man, that would be so great. I'm going in September. We got this pastor's conference in August. And he started planning the whole trip. And I'm like, okay. And so a little fast. We bought tickets at the beginning of August, and we were on a jet plane on September 4th. And it was absolutely remarkable. It was really, really good. We took a lot of precautions. We had a number of layers of things that we would have been able to do if we got into trouble, but we didn't get into too much trouble. And but you know what? I mean, logistically speaking, the trip was flawless. Just logistically. I mean, the worst that happened when we got back to the Kalispell is my bag didn't come out on the carousel. And you know where it was? It was on the tarmac between the plane and the terminal. My bag had fallen off and was just, I mean, my app said that my bag arrived, so how bad could that be? But I mean, as far as things that didn't go well, I'm thinking, yeah, that's really, really great. So what we'll do, we'll go through some pictures, and really it's in a timeline of our trip, and we got to visit a lot of churches. We took, you guys, when you wrote all those cards to these pastors, the ones that we were able to see open them or that we were with them, they were so encouraged. And they were really blessed by that. All right, well, so let's go. Let's just see. I don't have a copy of this, so let's see what's going on here. Oh, yes, I wanted to tell you about this. A lot of people don't know about the history of Ukraine, and there's a lot of, you know, true, untrue, semi-true kind of stuff on the internet, but these are three good resources for you to be able to get an understanding of why Ukraine is Ukraine and why they actually have borders and why they're actually their own culture with their own language and their own borders. And so you have last year's Imprimis, September 2022. You can go to Hillsdale College and you can look that up. You can get that one right there, Complications of the Ukraine War. Go to YouTube, History Hit, Brief History of Ukraine, 18 minutes long. And then today I found another one on Ukraine's own website. Imagine that. Ukraine.com, Culture, History of Ukraine. And right there you can go and you can see, I mean, maybe it's a three-minute read on the history of Ukraine. All right. This is interesting, too. You've seen a lot of the crest, right? Their coat of arms. And recently in Kyiv, they just replaced the hammer and sickle on this huge statue in Kyiv with a new crest. And I got to see a video of that today. But this is highly connected with Ukraine and even goes back before, Ukraine was, kind of starting, but all these different crests, have been around for a very, very long time, even since the 10th century. Okay. Ukraine is the largest European country, and we calculated that it was right about 1.6% larger than the state of Montana, and you can just kind of see that it's, you stick it right there, it's a little bit larger. Top 10 producer of grain and wheat. Number one in sunflower oil, number one in honey. And what was miraculous about driving around Ukraine, and we drove, I'll show you the map, and we drove a lot of sitting, but everywhere where there wasn't a city or a road or houses or trees, it was agriculture. It was agriculture everywhere. There wasn't just any ground that was sitting idle. And then one gentleman, the founder of the Calvary Chapel in Koharlik, he said, you know what, the ground is so fertile, whatever you plant, it just grows. And it is truly, truly amazing. 42.5 million population right now. It's always moving. 6.2 million refugees since the full-scale war of Russia in February of 2022. And there are 0.97, just under a million in Poland alone. And there's about 6 million IDPs. And you're thinking, what's an IDP? Well, that is an internally displaced person. That means that you've had to leave where you have lived, maybe your whole life and everything that you know, and you're fortunately able to stay in the country, but you're not at home. So when you look at the news or you hear a UN report or whatever, that's what IDP is. This is a map of Ukraine. One that I carried with me in a number of formats because it has highway numbers on them, and it allowed us to see, hey, how can we navigate if we needed to? Just really briefly, where we started, you can't fly into Ukraine yet. Boy, it sure would be highly convenient if you could. Not yet. So we flew into Krakow, Poland, which is to the left of the map. Over here, Warsaw is just about up here, but we flew into Krakow. We went down here across the border into Lviv and then down here into Ternopil, and that's where Pastor Zhenya is. And then from there, we went all the way across here to Kyiv and then down here to Poltava. I think it's really tiny, isn't it? Oh, there we go. Poltava. We were there for a day and a half, and then we went back up here, past Preluki to Nizhyn, then to Preluki, and then down here, back into Kyiv, and then to a small community right over here called Koharlik. And I tell you, what was interesting is that we were on that road. You remember the stalled Russian convoy that was there for a little while? We were on that road. We were on that road, which was miraculous. And it's a new road now because that heavy military equipment really chews it up. But that's Ukraine, and that's what we did, and we came back to Ternopil there. This is where we landed. I mean, these Eastern European cities, you guys, are absolutely incredible and tremendous. And you're probably well aware of a lot of history, World War II history, obviously, especially with Krakow, Poland. This is the place where Schindler gave refuge to the Jews and put them to work in his company there. That's the place, but it's absolutely beautiful. Our apartment that we stayed in the first night is actually looking over this little court here, which is kind of like a farmer's market. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You think, oh, you guys are going to Ukraine and you got to overnight somewhere and just bunk up. And you're thinking, okay, a mat on the floor with maybe a sleeping bag, maybe a pillow. But it's like, wow, it's great. Next picture there. This is our first night. They took us to a restaurant and we got to meet some new friends, some YWAM friends, actually. I'll show you a better picture later. This is Sasha and his wife, Tanya. He's a board member of the Calvary in Ternopil. They came over to pick us up. They're associated with the YWAM base in Ternopil. And these are some of their friends that they're in ministry with. Sharon and Ruslav and Shannon. And then James took the picture. Yes, James. And these are all their kids here. But what's amazing is connections, right? And I love the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit because we found out that Sharon, she's from Priest River, Idaho. And then Shannon here, she's from Thompson Falls. And they know small Montana towns with their ministry and all their coming and going. And it was just great to be with them. And this is another angle of the square. But it was at this time I told Lyle, I said, you know what? I have this funny feeling that we're going to end up eating our way through Ukraine. And we did. We did. Food touring. It's part of culture, which is important. This is a very, very common sight on the left. Like I told you, agriculture everywhere. Just beautiful fields of different things as far as the eye can see. And also, if you ever wanted to know where biscotti comes from, Ukraine. I'm kidding. There's a lot of different biscotti plants around, but it's kind of funny. So this is Pastor Zhenya and their youth pastor. He took us to an amazing coffee shop in Ternopil. And this is, I think, a raspberry-coated croissant. Well, I know. This is the Calvary Chapel in Ternopil. When we were there a year ago, they were just converting the entire upstairs for temporary housing, kind of dormitory housing. So the doors were in place and there were some walls up, but now it's all done. It's all beautiful. We had a beautiful, room to our own. And then this window here is that window there. But they're just strategically located in the center of the city, just maybe 5-10 minute walk from the railroad station, and they were a key place for refugees coming from the east, trying to move to the west or even move to the borders and go into Poland or Romania at that time. This is Ternopil down by the water, by the lake. It's just beautiful. They have walkways with water coming out and parks and a petting zoo and all this, and people boat on the lake and fish on the lake and everything. It's a college town, so they have about 4 or 5 universities and about 4 or 5 technical trade-type colleges. And it was amazing. At one point, Lyle and I were at a corner just walking around town, and we're with probably about 25 or 30 college students just waiting to cross the street. And so what's really interesting is on one hand, life is going on, people are going to school, farmers are farming, there's businesses going on, people are driving around and you see every different kind of car you can imagine and whatnot. But then this is a country that's at war and they're fighting for their existence right now. Russia's fighting for their expansion. Ukraine is in an existential fight for their existence, and there's a lot of sadness and trauma that we'll talk about a little bit later, like underneath. So on the surface, especially with what the news media would say, like everything is bombed out, everything is trashed, and you know, potholes in the roads. It's like, that is not the case. That is not the case. Chernobyl itself, it's interesting. I love history. I know many of you do too. Founded in 1540 by this gentleman here. And this is the castle that's there today. And that's what it looked like, you know, when they started, I guess, being able to take photos at some point. It's kind of cool history. Zhenya and his wife Luda took us to an amazing restaurant called The Mill. And if you think about a Ukrainian dish, what do you think about? Borscht. Borscht. And Lyle, do you remember what you ordered, like a spinach borscht or a bread bowl borscht? And then I ordered the lamb beet borscht. Both were amazing. And by the way, I think I have enough, but I have a borscht recipe up here, enough for each of you to take one home and try it out, okay? I wasn't able to make enough borscht for everybody. Sorry. This is the little restaurant that we were at with Zhenya and his family. That's Luda, Irina, and his son Mark. This is on our way to Kyiv, and so this is the word Kyiv in Ukrainian, with their kind of a stylized coat of arms there. As far as military hardware, we really didn't see a lot, other than in most cities, when you're going in and when you're coming out, they have what are called block posts or checkpoints, and a lot of them are unmanned at this point. Kind of run down, sandbags kind of leaking and whatnot. But then as we moved east, we started to see more and more block posts, these checkpoints. Some are manned, some are not. But then also these things here, which are hedgehogs. And they're a really inexpensive way to stop a tank. It doesn't destroy a tank, but if a tank tries to run over, it lifts the tank up and it just complicates its progress and movement. I thought this was great. Here is a Ukrainian tractor in its natural habitat. And if you remember early on in the war, there were a lot of pictures of Ukrainian tractors towing Russian tanks, you know, back out of the way or whatever. Thought that was kind of cool. Our first stop was Poltava. This is Pastor Eric and his wife Tanya and their precious family. And they have... their church is in the basement of this kind of annex in front of an apartment complex. It was a very wonderful church that we got to participate with on Sunday, and they let me teach. This is the first time Zhenya translated for me, that we got to work together, and it's always a dance. You know, someone once said that preaching through a translator is an acquired taste. I think it's really fun because... especially if you're doing it for the Lord and you're communicating the gospel or you're communicating truth, why wouldn't God bless this relationship and dance that you're having with the translator? And it was just really, really great to encourage the people, teach the word. They were so loving. Their greeting team, when Lyle and I came down the stairs, their greeting team wrapped us up and kissed us on the cheek and welcomed us. And we're like, wow, this is amazing. All the fellowships were truly amazing. We went to, the first night we were there, the pastor, Eric, he took us to an Italian restaurant run by a guy from Italy. That was amazing. And then after church, we went to a Georgian restaurant, which was amazing. I mean, all the food was good. And this is called Kinkali, a Georgian dumpling. So there's actually, you know, different things in there. And I think this little flag... that would be pork. I think the flag indicates, you know, what's in the Kinkali. And this one was over the top. It was Kinkali with some kind of cream. Imagine like an Alfredo type sauce with roasted garlic shavings. I mean, are you guys hungry now? And then everywhere we went, the bread, no matter what the bread was incredible. It was really incredible. This is, a lot of these cities have these beautiful, I love, you know, whatever the city is, you know, kind of place. And so this is all three of us under their Greek Orthodox Church in the background, which is a major, major religion in Eastern Europe. And I love just looking at things that you think you know what they are, but they're not, or maybe they're different. And I was going through the store, and I just was like, what? So you got all these different flavors of chips. What flavor is that? Bacon, right? And then you've got salmon flavored, and then crab flavored. I didn't buy any of them. I mean, I wasn't hungry, but just thought that was interesting. And did you know that there's a Montana pizza in Poltava in eastern Ukraine? Yeah. Maybe 120 miles from the front, and we've got a pizza place there. We didn't have time to eat there. This is really great. Inside the church, they had these murals that had scripture verses all the way around. I'm thinking, oh, great, I want to see what these verses are. So I pull out my phone, Google Translate, right? It'll sometimes do it live. You just tell it, you know, I want you to go from Ukrainian to English. And then it says, create this day the Lord, let's rejoice, and let's have fun in this. Well, here's the verse. It's actually, the next slide has the verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, so that told me I can't trust Google Translate. Let's have fun in that. Well, yeah, let's have fun today. Let's have fun today. Yeah, that is because this is from the Russian Bible, and sometimes in different in different languages, sometimes the chapters get moved. So, nothing insidious that I know of. This is what we saw when we left Poltava and we're moving up towards northeastern Ukraine. This is a planned destruction of the bridge, and they knew which ones they wanted to blow, which ones they wanted to keep, which ones they would blow if the Russians got to a certain point. And this happened to be one that they did take out. So as far as destruction of buildings and war evidence, we only saw this, and then we only saw one building as we were driving by, kind of entering into Kyiv, and we heard the story about that. But that's really all we saw. This is in Calvary Chapel Nizhyn. This is Pastor Vadim. They have a beautiful church, a nice little property, maybe a third of an acre, something like that. It was just under the shade of the trees, and he's cooking a Ukrainian shish kebab that Zhenya actually made for us when he was here, and we had a nice picnic and just great conversation, sharing our stories. What was really touching for me was that when Pastor Vadim asked me, what are my most challenging situations in ministry since I've been, you know, here at Calvary Chapel, and I was just thinking, wow, I wasn't expecting a question like that. And so you start, you know, grinding through all these different scenarios, and I came up with two. And what's interesting, he's like, you know what? He said something similar. He goes, I've got two that are really, really similar. And it's like, wow, here we are, pastors on the opposite ends of the world, and we can both say, yeah, these two things were some of the hardest things that we had to go through. But the Lord got us through, and we got to glorify Him in that. This is inside their cute church, and we ended up having just some fellowship time and a kind of impromptu worship, and I was able to play some songs, and then they played some Ukrainian songs, and we just had a great time until probably way too late. This is their new building. We were in this one back here. This is their new building, and hopefully they can get it finished soon. It's going to be beautiful when it's done. This is Pastor Vadim and his wife, Tanya. And this is looking the opposite direction. And yeah, a pizza and sushi company. Man, they've got cool things in Ukraine. I love it. I've got one more for you later. And this is, I love Nizhyn right here. This symbol is so cool. This symbol, it's a letter, and it's the Zh letter, and there's a bug called the Zhut bug, and it has the Z sound. And so, look, it looks like a bug too, huh? But that's the Z. All right. This is Calvary Chapel Parluki, and this is a Soviet-era finishing school for girls that they were able to get, I think, 15 years ago, something like that. And they've done such a great job I mean, if you could just imagine a remodel of maybe 120 or 150-year-old brick building, they've done a great job with it. It was really great. And this gal, she is their hospitality coordinator, and she wanted a picture of us in her kitchen with her bowls to be able to show all of you. And that's what she does, and she just loves it, and she gives her love and blessing and greeting. They cooked a nice dinner for us, a nice breakfast. This is the sanctuary where we were able to fellowship, and I had the opportunity to teach again. This is the backside of that. Their pastor is serving in the Ukrainian Armed Forces right now, and so their church is being led by their two elders. And so you have Valera, and you have Dima and Yulia over here, who is expecting. And I love this. I love the door. I actually just sent Jenya, I think yesterday, a picture of this door just zoomed in. And I love doors, especially in other countries, and sometimes just doors are just intriguing. But I love that verse out of Revelation chapter 3, where God says, "See, I've set before you an open door, an open door." This guy, his name is Sasha. There's a lot of Sashas and Tanyas. Okay, so his name is Sasha, and he was so great. And he used to live in Crimea, but he doesn't live in Crimea anymore. Look at his shirt. Look at what it says. "I'll be back." I just love that guy. And a shirt. Him more than the shirt. We had another just kind of an impromptu worship and prayer time. It was just, you know, sometimes the unplanned things are the best things. Here we're heading out of Preluki, and I tell you what, I mean, I could have filled my camera with all of the really interesting cars that I have no idea, I've never heard of the brand, that are just interesting, you know. So, you know, there's obviously a newer car back here, and you saw it all. Teslas, Porsches, BMWs, Volkswagens, and then stuff I've never seen before. So it was really, really great. Here's a long block post where the checkpoint is behind us. It was unmanned, but its intent is to slow any kind of traffic down, and you have to go like 3 miles an hour around all of these, you know, barricades and barriers. And so this is kind of a picture of what that looked like. Sometimes, you know, you'd have to stop. In my previous trip, especially close to the Romanian border when we were coming back, they wanted to talk to the driver. "What are you doing? Where are you going?" That kind of thing. But it's just for their security. Something that's always kind of blown my mind with Europe, but Eastern Europe countries especially, is the high density housing. And I didn't take this picture, I found it on the internet, but this is the kind of thing that you just can't even wrap your mind around. And they have all these communities where everything that you would need is usually within walking distance, or at the very least within their really, really good public transportation system. And it's really hard to think, and it's just kind of interesting, and I thought I'd share that with you. Here's a picture of some of those type of buildings when we were going through Kyiv. Sometimes just as far as the eye can see. And then they're building more of them. Like, you know, you'd think, I don't know what your national bird is, but you'd think it's the construction crane. So, this was in Poltava. This is what they brought out before breakfast. They at the hotel, they had, you can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you go, okay, I'd like the omelet, or I'd like the whatever. And then they're okay. And then they bring this thing out. And your first thought is, I didn't order that. But then everybody gets that. So it was like, okay, that's a breakfast in itself. This is so cool too. Ukrainian hot dogs. I showed you guys this last year. But they actually have the hot dog go all the way down into the bun. They put the condiments down inside, and then they grab your hot dog, whichever one you pick, and then they kind of do this, and then they give it to you. It is so yummy, but it's so easy to eat. I mean, it was just great. And I think the gal just did that for us because she saw that we were not from around there. Anyway, and then what the things people will do to get away and out of California. Yeah, kind of interesting. Last stop is Calvary Chapel Kaharlik. This is the backside, and this is the front side that they've been able to redo. Just absolutely tremendous. Three levels, and it used to be a Soviet-era sewing company. And I tell you what, I couldn't grab the whole story, but when they were trying to get the building for the church, there was something about the city didn't want anyone else to own or have any outsiders to have own property kind of thing. And somehow, because, well, obviously God and relationships and whatever, Calvary Chapel was able to purchase this building. And it was just so the building is a miracle story for them, to say the least. And then they are strategically located at a major, major intersection in Kaharlik, and they became a hub for refugees just south of Kyiv. And it's a farming community, it's an ag community, it's not a very big town at all, and so it wasn't ever a target. They didn't fortunately suffer any kind of missiles or whatever. And then the pastor and the board, they also kind of were able to foresee what was coming, and so they had solar arrays and batteries, and so they were able to have some level of heat, and they were able to have light and do different things. And so it was a beacon of light for the entire city, and it was absolutely tremendous. We got to meet the new pastor. This was a fairly short visit. His name is Vladimir. He started, I believe, this last May. He's a farmer, and he was telling us how the wheat prices have plummeted. They've gone from $230 a ton to $130 a ton. And we both kind of went, wow. And he goes, but it doesn't matter. Well, why? He goes, you can't sell it. You can't sell it. It doesn't even matter what the going rate is. You can't. So he's this farmer. He has all this wheat, can't sell his wheat. We heard about from these guys, from Pastor Wayne, who founded the church, or kind of came in behind the founder, but he was there for, I think, just over 15 years. And then also from Vladimir, and then also Mikolai, just the weighty impact that the war has had on everyone's lives, where you see here growing widow, veteran, and amputee population. So these kind of ministries, they're going to be dealing with this for the next 70 years. And it's just growing and growing and growing at an not exponential rate, but a very, very fast rate. And so Mikolai shared with us about his veteran ministry. And sadly, because of the war and the need for hospital beds, they don't have a lot of place for people to recover or anything what we would know of as transitional care. So a lot of times these people are going home before they should go home, but then they go home as amputees or they need some extra care. They're going to an apartment complex that is not set up for somebody with a disability or whatever. And so it's a real, even transportation, he was telling us, just getting people from the hospital to the home. And so as far as all the stories, I don't know what it was, but what these guys were sharing with us through the couple translators that we had, it was the most heavy. It was just heavy. And then when I was thinking, I don't know how much more I can take, I think someone said, hey, let's get some coffee. It's like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. But it was a great perspective. This is Wayne. He is connected with Operation Mobilization. And what's interesting is that his thing that he's been working on for a long time is a recycling plant. This plant used to convert McDonald oil into gasoline that you can burn in your car. And they had a contract with McDonald's, but then McDonald's says, hey, we can get more attention and more publicity if we take all of our oil and send it to farther Western Europe. And so they lost all those contracts, but now they're retooling it and they're taking plastic, they're running it through this machine. I can't even remember what it was called.
He invented it.
A thingamajig. These cost millions and millions of dollars in the West, but it basically heats up plastic, like plastic grocery bags and bottles, and converts it into fuel that you can put in your car. I mean, it's just amazing. And so what they're trying to do, and it's giving jobs for the locals, it's good for the environment, it's cleaning up, you know, people will just pile everything up and they'll just burn it, which isn't really good for the environment, but it's not really not good for people, right, in the immediate area. But what's crazy is there's fuel inside of these plastic bags. And so they heat it up and they move it through and there's a process. So he's trying to basically franchise this machine and this concept. And so when there's a church planting effort, this can go with a church planting effort and employ people, because jobs are so difficult right now to have. Unemployment is just absolutely huge. So that's Wayne showing us his plant, which was, and it was tough. It was kind of a whirlwind tour, and I think I could have taken another hour there, but we had to get going. There we go. So on our way out, it was a four-hour border crossing. It was an hour and a half from the time we started to when we got on the other side coming inbound. Outbound, 4 hours. And then we heard, oh, that's pretty good. Wow, 4 hours. 4 hours. But these two, this is Sasha and Tanya, they're driving heroes. And if you think about it, it was 8 man days that were expended to get Lyle and I from Krakow, Poland to Chernobyl, Ukraine. Because it was two people, one day out to get us, one day to bring us in. And then they repeated that. And there were two of them. And they hosted us. They took care of us. And so that, for that, we're very, very grateful. We're very grateful. Okay, a couple other slides here. This is another map of Ukraine with not so much data on it. And a lot of people go, well, where were you in relationship to the Russian border? Well, we got up to right about here, the Dnesian. So we were maybe 200 kilometers from Russia. And then Poltava is here, maybe another 120 miles. So maybe Whitefish, Kalispell to Missoula. You know, if you remember how big Ukraine is. And then this little highlighted line is pretty much where the active front line is. And so you can see it's just relatively focused in the east. How can you be involved? Well, the first thing that you can do is you can pray. And so if you have a phone, you could take a picture of this. But specifically for peace in Ukraine and the war to end, it seems like in many, many prayers that we heard of the prayer groups that we were within, that's what we heard. Lord, end the war, bring peace to Ukraine, you know, those type of things. Deeper fellowship and communion among the pastors and leaders, future conferences for camp workers, for women, youth, pastors and wives, music ministry, and the possibility of building a retreat center that would accommodate 500 plus people. And really, it's amazing because when they do a retreat, people come. Youth retreat, high school retreat, pastor's retreat, men's retreat, women's retreat, all of that. So how can you be involved? You can pray, you can give when needs arise, as you guys have, and you can go or send. Things that we are looking at when the right time comes, English camps, youth camps, vacation Bible school, some building opportunities, teaching, just encouragement. And then, of course, there's refugee, humanitarian type ministry everywhere that you can do in the name of Jesus. And so really, there's something for everyone. And it was kind of asked, well, what does an English camp entail? And so it has some teaching, you know, depending on the age. They have games and activities, break for lunch, and do kind of a, you know, just different type of group things or whatever, depending on the age. But it's all focused around learning English, and people want to learn English. And that is a great way to bring the Lord in. And a lot of these pastors have said, you know what's worked well, among other things, is English camps. English camps. It's like, okay, well, English is my first language and my second language, so I'm still working on it. But like, no, right? You can come. And so with that said, I have a notebook up here. And if you would be interested, if the time came, I just want to know if you would be interested in going or interested in an opportunity if it comes up. And because you came tonight, it just tells me that you're interested in what God is doing in Ukraine. And look, you got the whole political thing going on. Okay, we get that. But war is atrocious. This is not a just war. It's not of God, and it's brutal. But you know what we're into? We're into kingdom work. And that's why it's just so wonderful to have been able to tour through Ukraine and to meet all these different pastors and their leaders and a lot of the people in their churches. And I tell you what, that's something that we can get behind and just assist them any way we can. And so with that, I'm going to bring Lyle up. He has a couple things that he wants to mention.
You don't even know what I want to say.
I trust you.
Oh,
I'm going to be close.
Yeah, get the hook. Thank you, David. David is so good at this. I've traveled with David quite a bit. I mean, Israel, we, and he has such a gift for dealing with people and putting this stuff together. I'm glad that I didn't have to do the presentation for that, and you are a blessing, David. Mm. What I want to talk about a little bit is kind of the backstory. Why this trip and what I learned out of doing this, and I think it's kind of an important thing. You look at that long list of things that we can do to help, but I've been coming to Calvary Chapel, Jan and I have, for close to 20 years. The first couple of years we're visiting, and for the last close to 18 years we've been active members of the church. And I guess about 15 years ago, the person that did the finances, my background is in finance and accounting and that type of thing, the person that was doing the finance handed me an old ratty computer and said, I don't want to do this anymore. Can you take over? So I did, and Jan and I managed the accounting and the finance for and about 12, 13 years ago when David came. We were still able to handle it, but I got on the board of directors, and I became kind of the financial person for the church. And the church has, and David has, probably because of David, this church has got a huge commitment to missionaries. He inherited some. And we've developed a lot more over the time. Some come and some have gone. And we had a particularly bad experience with one of the missionaries that we were dealing with. We didn't understand what was going on out there financially, and we kind of learned late in the game that something was wrong, and people were hurt, and money was wasted, and a lot of things. And we've kind of vowed as a board that we didn't want that to happen again. So this opportunity is so huge. I mean, we've got, God brought us together with a lot of opportunities for Ukraine. It's a faraway place, but it's a culture is very near. It's a Western European culture. And there's a lot of things that are needs over there. And so in getting to the point where we wanted to feel comfortable with that, David asked me to go with him to this trip, which was a lot of logistics and a lot of things. It was a major commitment. We didn't know it was going to go on, really. But my contribution to this thing is kind of looking at the finances and making sure that what we're being told is what's actually happening. Because this church tithes to missions. We take in money. And we, right now, we're tithing at about 12% of everything we take in to the mission field. And so we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing with everybody's money in doing this. So when we went over there, part of what I was doing is some due diligence on what we were seeing was really what we expected, that the money that we have contributed, that we will contribute, or the people we're sending over there was legitimate, because there are people that take advantage, as we know, and don't do what they say, and probably ruin a lot more lives than they save, and so that we just couldn't have that happen again. So what we found, and just to summarize this whole thing, is that these are an amazing group of people. We were able to visit 5 of the 17 Calvary chapels over there. The relationship that Jenya has with each one of those pastors is very close. They share with him their needs, and he is able to consolidate all the needs of all these different churches, and he can tell us or whoever else can support them what the major opportunities are for us to help, whether it's sending people, whether it's giving them money, whether it's prayer, whatever it is what he is able to consolidate. So we don't have to go out there to each of those individual churches, find out what the needs are, evaluate those. He is able to bring those together, discuss with us what's going to be the best use of this, and move it forward. So I think from my perspective, you know, it was a fantastic experience. I learned a lot. But I think my contribution to this is they are legitimate. They're doing what they say they're going to do. It's a very worthwhile mission and a ministry, and I think it's going to do us all a lot of good to support it. Thank you.
Well, when we visited these different churches, it was really an honor, because a lot of times when you go on a mission trip, you don't get to see the whole country unless that's part of the plan or it's a tour, right? You go in, you go to the town, and you do the VBS, or you do the outreach, or you do the thing, and then you leave, and you're kind of like, okay, and you only get to see just a little slice, but we got to see, you know, a huge amount, like a large amount of different churches. Like every church had their own personality, their own feel, their own story, and that was great. And then every church that we visited, I could absolutely see us serving that church in whatever way that they needed. Because you don't ever say, hey, I've got this thing and we want to come to your country and your town and we want to do this. No, I've always come from the other end of the spectrum, where you say, hey, what are your needs and how can we meet those needs? And if we can, then we want to do everything, you know, possible. And so I could see us participating in any of these churches, but where I really left it with Jenya, instead of just kind of trying to go, well, what church really touched my heart, or where, you know, what pastor did I really, really connect with? Because that's where we're going to go back to. And I realized pretty soon, it's like, I love all these churches. I love all these pastors. I loved all the leaders. I loved all the people that we met. And it was all good, 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 good. Like Lyle said, it was green lights everywhere. And so where we left it was Jenya. I said, you know what, Jenya? The Lord has opened us this door, this effective door, to support you. And I want you to know that if you have a need, or if you have a small church, there, you guys, there's a church where there's only a pastor because the people left because of the war. So there's some churches that are rebuilding. But I told Jenya, I said, look, we don't have to go to the largest church or the most popular church or, you know, whatever's going on kind of church. It's like, Jenya, if you have a church that has some kind of need, even if there's only 10 people there, or it's just, and they've got a need and they could use a team, and you know that would be encouraging, I want you to know that we want to be that church that would answer that call to the best of our ability. And he was just so blessed by that. I hope it's okay I can speak on your behalf, because I did. But just saying, Lord, of all the things you've allowed us to invest in and have a relationship with Jenya, and we're just going to trust him, you know, to lead us, because he's led us thus far, right? Does that make sense? And people say, well, Pastor David, why Ukraine? Why, like, why, how come? I mean, Ukraine's at war. They're fighting for, I know. I mean, I read the news. I've got Telegram channels. I've got stuff. I know. Well, God hasn't opened the doors for us to go to New Zealand or Hawaii. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. Or South Korea, right? Or, you know, London or Scotland. He hasn't opened the doors for that. But I look at what the Lord's done with Ukraine, and of all places on the world, in the entire world, I got to go last year, and then the Lord allowed a lot of different connections to happen, and then we were able to go in September, and then, you know, everywhere we went, you know, they said, oh, you guys, you're more than welcome to come back, and they told Lyle and I, but you got to bring your wives. So it was just a great thing. And then, you know, to kind of top it all off or cap it all off before we pray, when Jenya came here in July, you know, he had a board member and his wife. They left Ukraine about a year and a half ago, something like that, about a year and a half ago, and they've been living in Spokane, Washington. And Jenya didn't know how close Spokane was, for one. Close and not close, right? Close, not close. But then our friends over here, Roman and Rebecca, they just recently moved to Lakeside to participate in the YWAM base down there. And so of all connections, you know, here we have another board member of Calvary Chapel Ternopil. You attend board meetings on Zoom and different things like that. But it's like, really? And then the Sunday before Lyle and I were able, you know, left for Ukraine, you know, Roman prayed an amazing prayer. And he prayed a prayer, and one thing that I remember him praying was that everything that we would come in contact with would be blessed of God. And truly, brother, the Lord answered that prayer. Because you think about traveling to, well, just travel. I mean, that our luggage made it to Krakow was a miracle. Anytime luggage makes it anywhere is a miracle, I think. But I mean, logistically speaking, and just all the people, I mean, it was a blessing. It was truly a blessing. And so I hope you can meet the Taturavich family. And I learned how to say it correctly when I was over there. Oh, I got a thumbs up. All right. And I hope you guys can meet them, get to know them. But before we depart, we're going to pray. And I want to let you know, if you'd be interested in a potential trip, then make sure that I know that. Grab a borscht recipe, and then I haven't tried it yet, so let me know. I haven't gotten the one from Luda yet, but that's what I'm waiting for. And then also, they sent me back a whole bag of candy for you guys to try, and I think there's enough for everyone to have one, okay? So make sure you do that. So let's just close our time in prayer, and yeah. Jesus, we thank you that you've not only saved us, but you have allowed us this great privilege of being a part of what you're doing. Lord, we don't know why. It seems like you could get more done sending angels. We know that's in the future plan, where you will have angels circumnavigating the globe and preaching the everlasting gospel. But Lord, for now, while we're here on this earth, before you come for your church, Lord, you have us as your ambassadors, ambassadors of heaven. And so it's amazing that you've told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to share your truth with this world and to go to every tribe and to go to every culture and go to every nation because you love them. And Lord, truly, it's a great commission. And it's an exciting commission because we get to learn about different cultures and peoples and everything. And Lord, you created them. You created different cultures. But Lord, we know that with any culture that is out there, Lord, there are aspects of it that must be redeemed and must be submitted to you. And we know that that it's your design that we go into all the world. And Lord, there's such an educational component, a humbling component of going into all the world and sharing your love with people. Lord, thank you for the doors that you've opened up for us to go to Ukraine, for us to visit these different churches. And Lord, I just can't wait for you to give us the green light and open the door for us to go back and do whatever you would tell us to do. But Lord, right now, with these prayer requests, we do pray for peace in Ukraine. We pray that you would end the war. We pray, Lord, for all of the churches, for connection, for communication, for unity. Lord, we pray for resources. Lord, every church, every pastor, every leadership team, they had different needs, and we pray that you would meet those needs. Lord, we pray for any kind of conference that they have coming up, pastors' conference, youth conference, men's conference, women's conference, these camps that they do. Lord, we pray that you would bless those, bless the planning of those conferences, Lord, and of all those meetings. We pray that you would fill your people afresh with the Holy Spirit and empower them to share the gospel with those just right around them in their apartment, on the street, at the market, Lord, because people are looking for answers, and you are the answer. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus, even just a bold request that they would be able to have a retreat center somewhere to house up to 500-plus people, we pray, Lord, that you would open up the doors for that, provide them property, provide them the resources and the just the funds to be able to do that. And Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for allowing us to talk about you and to just see and learn about another culture. Thank you for Roman and Rebecca, Lord, that they were able to join us tonight. We pray your blessing upon them and their role back in Ukraine, as well as their role down in Lakeside. And Lord, truly we pray for all the pastors in Ukraine and just for their wives and families as they serve you in these difficult times. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. And all God's kids said, amen.